Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
So it's the Savage Nation. Now, last night after the show, I get in the car and I race over to the museum and I go to a dinner at the museum for the Picasso exhibit that's about to open, and only about 50 people are invited. Now, many of you have a difficult time understanding or appreciating Picasso's work because his images are bizarre. Sometimes they're grotesque. There are many different body parts in the wrong parts of a body. I'm talking about Picasso's work. And standing there looking at these $150 million paintings, I got to tell you something. I stood in the room. It's hard to put a dollar value on art. Here I am in a room with six paintings, each of which is worth about $150 million. That's $1 billion worth of art in one room now. And like a shock, it occurs to me that Congressman Anthony Weiner was so ahead of his time. When you think about what Congressman W. has done in disembodying his body and taking body part pictures and disseminating them across the internet, you realize that he's sort of a Picasso in his own right. I think that we're misinterpreting Congressman W. He's not sick. He's not narcissistic. He's not exhibitionist. He's not mentally ill. He's an artist. And I think his best defense would be to say he's a Picasso of the internet. And that by showing various and sundry body parts to various and sundry young ladies, he was doing the world a favor. Now, having tried to attract your attention to this issue today on the Savage Nation, I am going to talk a little bit about Congressman W., and I'll tell you in what regard. We've talked about it over and over again from a political perspective, but have we discussed Congressman W. from a psychiatric perspective? It's clear to me that Congressman W. has a mental illness. Now, how else can you explain the lurid texts he sent? And we have them up on michaelsavage.com. I'm not going to read them. They're sickening, frankly. They show a man who actually hates women, wants to dominate women, wants to hurt women, hates Republicans, talks about injuring Republicans. How else can you explain the lurid words that he sent while knowing in the back of his mind that eventually somebody would make them public? So I'm going to ask you, if you are a psychiatrist or a psychologist, to call the show. Now, as a layman in the field of self-analysis, I'll tell you what I see so far. Weiner is an exhibitionist. That is clear. Weiner has self-destructive tendencies, or he would never have put himself in this position to begin with. Congressman W. is a consummate narcissist, believing that he and his deviant desires were, frankly, more important than his family, his wife, his constituents in the nation. And if you're a psychiatrist listening to the Savage Nation right now, I'd like to have you call the show and tell the people how you assess his symptoms. What about Congressman W's background? Do you think, what had been his background brought him to this point? And should a man with this type of mental illness be allowed to continue serving in Congress? What is the proper authority out there to determine whether he was incompetent to continue serving? In other words, shouldn't there be hearings on a man's mental competence if he's a congressman? And if you're a therapist, is there any treatment that could be given to Congressman W? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. It's also come out just moments ago that one of his ex-girlfriends, I forget her name, says that she stands by him. She loved him as a person. They're not lovers, but it's time for him to go. Because after she saw his words, she says it's time for him to quit. I forget her name. I think she's on Fox News. You know, everyone's trying to make a buck off this. No doubt she's trying to peddle a book. I think the most reprehensible character in all of this is Andrew Breitbart, and I'll tell you why. I don't have anything against Breitbart, but I don't buy the lie that he goes on this shock jock show on satellite radio, and he shows them the picture of Congressman W's, says, "Oops, I didn't know they were going to take a picture of me showing it to them and put it on the internet." Who do you think you're fooling, Andrew? I don't know whose ethics and morals are worse, yours or Congressman W's. But anyway, his ex says he lied to me. That I don't mean Breitbart's ex. Congressman W's ex says he lied to me. Kirsten Powers, no doubt, has a book deal already. And she defended him on TV, blah, blah, blah. But now she said it's not about his lying. It's about how sick he is. She said, "I cannot get my mind around the extensive and sociopathic lying in which he engaged. There seems to be no other choice than for Congressman W to step aside and stop hurting his family, friends, and the Democrat Party." No, I say keep on hurting the Democrat Party. In fact, I'm starting to think he shouldn't resign. I think Congressman Weiner represents the Democrat Party as we know it. He certainly represents the liberal wing of the Democrat Party to a T. I believe that their sickness of the liberalism, by the way, unto itself is a mental disorder. In an age of terrorism, to deny that there's actually terrorists from Muslim countries is a mental illness. In an age of the Treasury being depleted, in an age of us being bankrupt, to be calling for free medical care for all is a mental illness. We have a doctor on the line. He is going to help diagnose the man. And again, I try to get your attention by talking about the Picasso exhibit. And before we take our first callers on this, you know, by the way, I do feel bad for him. I tell you the truth. I did from the beginning once this happened. The man is sick. The man needs treatment. You can't revel in this man's illness. This is no joke. This is a very ill person. And people like this, by my amateur analysis, will never resign on their own, because people who are so driven with such narcissism and self-importance never listen to anybody. It's only about them. So they don't really understand how they look. They don't even understand how they're coming across. They don't even understand how disturbed they are. So again, let me go back for a minute while you're calling, because I do have your attention. The lines are jammed on the Savage Nation. If you have the time, go to michaelsavage.com. And actually, if you have the stomach for it, you can see from Radar Online, which I linked up, what he was actually texting to women. It's really pretty sickening. You know, it's one thing to text and play around. It's another thing to do the things he said, which are really mentally disordered. This man is sick. Even in our age, the man is sick by any analysis. The Picasso exhibit, by the way, at the Young Museum, which I saw last night in a private showing for about 50 people, you have to see this when it opens to the public. You know, it's going to be like a zoo in there, but it's worth it. I have never been in one room with so many powerful paintings. In fact, it shook up my mind when I went home at night and laid down to go to sleep. What came back to me was some of the power of the paintings. The Picasso paintings came back not to haunt me, but to literally open up my mind in a way that I like it being opened up, incidentally. All right, let's start with the callers. John in New York City, you're a doctor. What do you think about Congressman W's disorder? What is it?
Hello, Michael. I would diagnose him as a narcissistic personality. And, you know, as we know, not everybody in your audience may know, Narcissus was a person who was a Greek mythological figure that was in love with themselves. And, you know, while his being narcissistic and what he was actually texting may not be clinically considered psychologically ill, the fact that this guy has climbed up to the point where he's at and feels invincible and can get away with almost anything is really the defect in a narcissistic personality.
Yeah, now look, him befriending women is one thing, but he didn't just befriend women. His ex-girlfriend says what has emerged, she says, is the picture of a predator. And she says, my heart still aches for him. He said, we're all flawed human beings, and this is not about meting out judgment. It's about having some sort of standard for what the Democratic Party stands for. I have to say, this is what the Democratic Party stands for, in my opinion. They literally do not think this is such a big deal, doctor. I really do believe they think this is nothing and it's going to blow over.
Well, the disturbing thing to me is the fact that he could, with a blunt face, stand up there and lie. Here's the other interesting thing. About 20 years or 25 years ago, maybe 20 years ago or so, I was actually at a charity function in New York, which was a bachelor auction, where he was one of the contestants being auctioned off to a woman. So, you know, this is not new behavior for this fellow.
She says what has emerged is a picture of a predator trolling the internet for women, some half his age, with which to engage in cyber sex. Now, how can a congressman keep his job who has done this? How is this possible?
No, you can't. You know, the lying part alone.
I want Congress to show that they have some values, and I want them to hold a hearing and throw him out. The man cannot be forced to resign. He needs to be forcibly thrown out of Congress. You know that the ratings of Congress now are at the lowest in history. They're at 9%. And that's before the scandal of this sicko. What do you think they would be after America actually reads these text messages? I'll be right back. Listen, hold on. If you're a doctor, you get priority seating on the Savage Nation. If you're a psychiatrist, you go right to the head of the class. I'm an amateur self-analyzer, okay? To me, we see exhibitionism. We see narcissism. We see what Freud described as a death wish. It's all in there. But there's much more here. And I'd like to know what you as a professional have to say about the strange case of Congressman W, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know, I've been around a fairly number of decades. I've seen a lot of things. I grew up in a very liberal world. This is not shocking in the sense that I can understand people do it. But there's a huge chasm between an ordinary man doing this, number one, and a grown-up man doing it, number two, a married man doing it, number three, a married congressman man doing it, number four, and not realizing he's going to get caught. If you remember the movie L.A. Confidential, do you remember the Danny DeVito character where he played the Sid Hudgens character who had a magazine called Hush Hush, where he released information about the sexual goings-on about people in Hollywood? Remember he played the DeVito character, played Sid Hudgens, Hush Hush? That character reminds me of Blogger B, who has slowly released these pictures. And Hush Hush magazine is becoming a twin for Big G. Dr. Wright in New York on WOR, go ahead, please.
Yes. Well, I wanted to say a couple things. Number one, when you diagnose a person, there are five axes, five categories, and you're only dealing with the personality part. You're saying narcissism, possibly, but the presenting problem seems to be anxiety and depression, because when there's obsessive behavior, it's usually to ward off anxiety and depression.
We're all lay persons here. So you're saying people engage in this when they're anxious and depressed, they do these things?
I'm saying that usually the use of an obsession is in the service of warding off anxiety and depression. Correct. So you can
blame the Republicans for this, for not permitting socialism to become the law in the land. So that's why he got anxious and depressed. We'll see that. You know that he's already blaming his wife. People are already starting to blame the wife for traveling so much. Can you believe this?
Well, the other thing I wanted to say is I was listening to you the other night, and you said Freud said all behavior is sexually derived, and that isn't what he said. He said there are three urges that result in behavior, and one is fear of mortality, one is sexual, and one is aggression. And to me, this is all three combined, but usually it is all three combined. So,
yes, they are. Come on, they're all wrapped up in the same ball, I would think. Anyone who's been around can feel them all wrapped up together. Do you think this man is fit to serve in office?
Oh, well, I don't know him personally, and I don't know, you know, exactly. He wouldn't be my choice ever, because I'm not a...
Well, look, as a therapist, you have to be non-judgmental. I know that. I know how it operates. You can't draw judgments on people's behavior, or you wouldn't be in your profession. But as a sitting congressman, how in the world can this man legislate on issues such as protecting children after he's done things like this? That's what I'm asking. All right. I mean, think about it. I don't know how anybody in the Democrat Party can't see that he will drag them down It's as simple as that. 1-800-449-8255. Is there anyone else who's a doctor on the line? Dr. Chandra in Chicago. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please, Dr. Chandra.
Hi, Dr. Chandra, Michael.
Yes. So, doctor, what do you think about Congressman W?
I think his behavior is abominable. A congressman should have a behavior which speaks of their station in society. If he has any morals left, he should resign. And if he does not resign, he needs to be thrown out by any law or by Congress, you know.
Now, are you a Democrat voter generally, doctor?
Yes.
Yes, but as a Democrat, you feel shame for him and for what he's doing to the image of the party. All right, that's fair enough. We know all Republicans are reveling in this, and we know that. I mean, that's a given. But let's put aside for a minute the politics, and let's talk about how sick this man is. Okay? New York, Dr. Riley, W-O-R, go, you're on the air.
Thank you, Michael. I think what we're looking at here is a similar thing to what happened with Tiger Woods. You look at people in society, and this is just my personal take on it, that are ordinary by every standard.
Yeah.
Nerdy in a conventional sense, very ordinary. Brought up these heightened levels of society, celebrity, politics.
Right.
Immediately, they're looked at as the Uberman, in a sense. And this goes to their head. This takes over. This becomes an uncontrollable thing, in my opinion, that someone who, by most standards in life, was looked over as ordinary, is now brought up to this standard. They can't control themselves. In the sense, it is a narcissistic.
Well, no, let's look at the picture I have on the website that one of my webmaster Art found of him as a child in junior high school. He looks like a classic nerdy kid that people pushed around. So now he drives himself to become a congressman, and what, you're saying that that goes to his head and he thinks he's Superman?
Exactly. In a sense, you're looking at somebody who by most standards was looked over, ordinary. Now he has a sense of power, same as Tiger Woods. It goes to their head. They can be given as much as they want.
But, doctor, do you agree with me that he's mentally disordered? I mean, this is not just behavioral shenanigans. This man is mentally disordered. If you look at what he wrote, he was talking about gagging women with his private parts and things of that nature.
Savage.
Oh, wearisome conditions of humanity, born under one law to another bound, created sick, commanded to be sound. Richard Falk Greville. You know, I think I read that in one of Huxley's novels maybe 30 years ago. I never forgot it. Oh, wearisome conditions of humanity, born under one law to another bound, created sick, commanded to be sound. And that speaks to all of us. We all have weaknesses. We all have flaws. We all have foibles. That is a given. Okay? We all do things in the privacy of our own mind or in the privacy of our own home that perhaps we're not too proud of. However, when you realize this man is a representative of Brooklyn and Queens, New York, and that he represents the liberal wing of the Democrat Party, especially with regard to the treatment of women, how in the world can this man stay in that position? How can the party itself not throw him out? For their own survival, they have got to throw the guy out. Now they're using a new ploy that his wife is pregnant. Did you hear this? I mean, this is getting sicker. And I got to tell you something. I'm getting angrier by the day. Now they're bringing up the wife is in the early stages of pregnancy, and that's supposed to be what? Now what? Oh, now we can't say a word about him? Would you want to be the child of this father? I got to ask you a question. Would you want a picture of your father's private parts floating around for eternity on the internet? Would you? You want to be the child, a daughter, or a son of this man? This is crazy. It's crazy. You know, you talk about crazy. I come back from the Picasso exhibit last night, and I had a wonderful time. I drank too much, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what it is, but I went around those paintings. I drank four or five vodkas. You know, they had an open bar and the caviar, and I love caviar. I just threw away the creme fraiche. And then I was drinking and enjoying myself. I was wearing a black hat and a tie and this and that. Do you know who I dreamed of last night? Bill Clinton. As God is my witness, I said, how does the mind work? How do I talk about Congressman W. on the radio yesterday, reading what the man is, has written, and then at night, I guess it's because they told me yesterday, I didn't even know it, that Clinton married him and his wife, which I thought unto itself was phenomenal. So when I heard that Bill Clinton had married Congressman W. and his lovely wife, Huma, last July, I dreamed of Bill Clinton. I thought that was unbelievable unto itself. But I dreamed I was in the room with Clinton and we would talk. I don't even remember what we were talking about. I don't know what it has to do with any of this, but I don't know how the mind works, truthfully. All right, professionals, attention. Professional callers who are therapists, psychologists. I don't want any lay therapists. I want medical therapists. I want people trained in therapy. I want people with a master's degree or a medical degree. I really want the listeners to get up to the bottom of some of the thinking here. We've only talked about Congressman W. from the political perspective now. Everyone has. No one in the media has talked about him from a psychiatric perspective. I personally, as a layperson, think he's mentally ill, and I think that the man needs to be committed. I don't think there's any medication that could treat him. There's something beyond the beyond here. Las Vegas, Dr. Altman, female. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, I have been getting so angry at these liberal psychologists that are calling in and saying it's because he has power, he has this, he's that. He has a sick man. This man has been sick from childhood. He is sexually perverted. The things that he has done are not normal, no matter how much power you have. And I really think that he's very sick, and I think it's about time that psychologists started wising up to illness and evil in this world and stopped forgiving everything and giving it excuses. It
was Dr. Altman, wait, hold on. You're a sex therapist, if I recall, correct? We had a great conversation a while back.
Oh, yes. Thank you for remembering. Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah. Who can forget you? Doctor, seriously, you're a woman who deals with sexual problems. You're a sex therapist. Is what he did that unusual?
I think that this man has had sexual problems since he's a child. I think he's been playing games with his penis. And to show how sick he is, when he was lying through his teeth about everything, when they asked him if it was his picture, he could not deny it. No matter what other lies he was telling, he never denied that it was his picture. He equivocated all kinds of excuses, or maybe...
But a little boy might send a picture of his private part to someone else. Often little boys will do that. They'll exhibit themselves. 4 or 5 years old, honest to God, they will take it out and, you know, they do that. The children do that. Babies, little boys can do that till they're taught it's not right. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. No, it's not sick in a child if a five-year-old does it. You say, look, son, that's not the way, you know, nobody likes you to do that. It's your personal, you know, body. You don't show it that way. You explain it to a child. What about a 44-year-old man?
As I said, I think he's sick, and I think he's been very sick from the beginning. I don't think he's just been showing his penis as in a childhood way. I think he was playing games with it and doing things with it the way he has been talking on the email now, things that are very unusual and almost to the perverted level. And right now it is to the perverted level. And it just makes me sick how people don't want to admit that the man is sick, that he's perverted, and that there's time to stop this paddling all these people, that, you know, taking care of them, giving them excuses. He's sick and he has to step down. And
here is a man who passed a law or championed a law to protect women recently. And Radar Online posts a transcript that he had of a conversation with a Las Vegas blackjack dealer, which I have on michaelsavage.com. And I'm not going to read it to you. It's rife with misogyny. It's rife with hostility towards women. In referring to oral sex, Congressman W. says, you will gag on me before you blank. And I'm thinking about gags. It's crazy, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What woman on earth, other than a woman role-playing in a sex film, would put up with this?
I don't understand it. I guess that they were, you know, kind of proud of themselves that a congressman was talking to them. You know, the emptiness of people is so sad. They need to be filled up with whatever it is. I mean, even if it's a porno email, it's horrible. We're so alien.
He asks the woman who is Jewish, he says to her, you give goods. He says, wow. He says, this very ill man, doctor.
He's ill, and I'm sick of these psychologists who excuse him and give him all kinds of reasons. He is a sick man, and he's perverted sexually. And
you know, the only person who called him a sick man was Donald Trump. By the way, he saw right. He's the only one who came out and said he's very sick.
He
Everyone else is making excuses about it.
And he's dangerous because these kind of sexual perversions escalate. They don't stay at promises and words. They don't stay like that. They start escalating into behaviors.
Well, Dr. Altman, it's always a pleasure to hear from you on the Savage Nation. You're a woman who's down to earth. And also, I think you're willing to say it like it is. Are there any doctors out there who have a different or modified opinion? New York City, WOR, Dr. Lynn, thank you for calling the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please.
Michael.
Yes.
Yeah, Dr. Wynn. It goes way beyond this. He is a psychopath. Of course, he's narcissistic, but he's a psychopath. I wouldn't be surprised if he damaged and injured and killed little animals when he was a child. He has absolutely no sense of empathy, no sense of lying to other people, no sense of putting himself in other people's point of view. He is purely a Ted Bundy-type personality, and he's a dangerous man, in my opinion. This can escalate well beyond the computer and well beyond his little genitalia on the screen itself. This can go beyond criminality through the internet. It can go to criminality through physicality. This is a dangerous man, in my opinion.
Doctor, you're identifying yourself as a psychiatrist, correct?
Correct.
Do you treat people like this? Have you treated people like this?
I work in an ER, a major ER in New York City, psych ER.
Wow, so you've seen everything.
I've seen all kinds of things, yes. There's no treatment for a psychopath. There's no treatment
no,
for a psychopath.
What? No treatment other than to go into politics.
Who knows if it's nurture or nature? If it's nature, well, then there's a gene, perhaps, for it. But there's no pill for a psychopathic individual.
But realistically, has he hurt anybody directly other than himself?
Do you know something? I think he's hurt many people. And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg here. Who has he hurt? I don't know. Let's look back in his background. As I said, his childhood. If you look back at every psychopath, you'll see that they have done damage, physical damage to other mammals. Of course, mammals not being human beings, but other mammals that have a sense of...
Unbelievable. That's really frightening. But I'm glad I'm kind to my dog. I guess I'm not as crazy as I think sometimes, being in talk radio. No, you know, having an animal requires you to be constantly kind to them, and you do see what kind of person you are when you do care for a small, defenseless creature, incidentally. I mean, you're onto something there. No, it does help you understand who you are, taking care of a small, defenseless creature who depends upon you.
Absolutely.
That's very interesting. I feel like you just saved me from my own whisper campaign against myself. Okay, no, this is very, very revealing. There will be an ethics committee investigation if they actually go through with it, by the way. And I want to raise this issue for all you Democrats who are listening. Do you believe that this ethics committee will issue subpoenas for the women involved in the scandal? Yes, they will. They will have to. This means that the scandal will continue to drag the Democratic Party into what it really stands for. Because new information will come out that he is no doubt not released. And I believe that there's a high likelihood, because he can't say for sure, that some of these women will turn out to be underage. If that is true, and I am not an expert in this area, I would now like to open it up from psychiatry to detectives who are in the sex crimes units. If he has engaged in this type of conversational insanity with women underage, is it punishable as a crime? Can he be indicted and go to jail? I'll be right back.
Savage.
We are talking about the psychiatric, the strange case of Congressman W. from Brooklyn, New York. From a psychiatric perspective. And on the Savage Nation, we've asked psychiatrists and therapists to call the show. I got to tell you, this is one of my most amazing days in radio, because what we're learning is amazing. I mean, as laymen, I could see he's an exhibitionist, self-destructive, narcissist. I mean, anyone knows all of this, right? But there's much more to this mental picture. And I don't know the proper words for it. If my Latin binomialism does not fail me, I would declare him to be Democratus liberalis subspecies progressivicus. But that's just a sort of a joke. I mean, this man is a classic progressive Democrat liberal in his behavior. You think he is not the norm? He is the norm. Frankly, I think he's the norm. This is normal behavior for people in the movie business. This is normal behavior for people who say that they're wild and they're free and everyone else is uptight and they're gonna make the country a little a little less uptight. This is how they explain it. Oh, wearisome condition of humanity, born under one law to another bound, vainly begotten yet forbidden vanity, created sick, commanded to be sound. When I first read that, and I think it was Huxley's Brave in the World. No, it wasn't Brave in the World. It was one of Huxley's books. In the 60s, I read it. I thought it was Huxley quoting Blake, but it's Huxley quoting a man named Greville, G-R-E-V-I-L-L-E. Now, you talk about a tweet. In my day, that was called an aphorism. Today, they call it a tweet, and it's all illiterate. How about some literate tweets such as this? Created sick, commanded to be sound. I don't see that in tweets, do you? Who's the best caller right now, Beowulf? The Green Line? Okay, Georgia, Dr. Elliott, thank you for calling the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you, doctor. First of all, I'm a licensed psychiatric social worker, not a doctor. I work with mental health patients.
That's fine. One of my very close family members just received a master's in psychology, so I'm very familiar with the gradations of the therapeutic profession. So what's your take on it?
Well, I was listening to the doctors that called in, and understand, you and your listeners should understand one thing, that while I highly respect their opinion, they are medical doctors, and so I work with psychiatrists every day, and they tend to see things from a medical, biological perspective. And while they are right, there are certain areas of the brain, such as the basal ganglia, the cingulate gyrus, that is responsible for repetitive behavior and responsible for latching on to certain ideas and perversions. You can't simply explain his behavior and his obsession simply in biological or medical terms. This is social upbringing, such as social modeling, so we're looking at sociology. This is psychology. We're looking at in terms of what it is he tells himself. He's a narcissist, but most politicians are. Not all, but most are.
So how do you get into his basal ganglia and rewire him? If, let's say, the man says, I'm sick, I can't help myself, what would you do for him?
Well, a psychiatrist would recommend medication, but I agree with the previous doctor that called. In terms of personality disorders, which I think he has, therapy is pretty much the only effective method for correcting his behavior. Now, some medications will lessen some symptoms, such as he may have some depression, he may have some anxiety, but you're not going to erase his narcissism or by any kind of medication or rewiring of the brain. You have to rewire the way he perceives the world. That's the problem. His perception of reality is the problem.
Yeah, but this man is a sitting U.S. congressman. This is the whole issue. We wouldn't even be talking about it if it was a plumber or somebody down the street. The man passes legislation. The man is involved with national security issues. He's a clear and present danger to the United States of America. I don't think he's fit to serve.
Sure, and you know what, Michael, I absolutely agree with you. Or I would at least say he's not fit to serve until we can definitively say this is no longer an issue. But let's look at why people choose something like politics in the first place. And not all, I don't want to generalize, but most people that choose an area in which they have some power do so for reasons that they're attracted to that power. Now, this man may have been a pervert long before he took power, but at the same time, when he took that position, he said, now I can really serve my perversion. So it gave him a new outlet. He didn't see that position as to serve the people. He saw that position as serving himself.
Oh my God. You know, I'm awed by it. Sometimes I think my analysis is good, and then I tend to get carried away with it. But when I listen to people like yourself, I realize the extent of expertise and how wonderful it is to listen to somebody who dwells on these things and knows so much about them.
Well, thank you, Michael. And I love the show, and you are the most intelligent talk show host by far. And I wish people would talk more about your credentials, because I think they miss that.
Well, I don't do it because people don't want to hear it, but it's enough that I get callers like you. It's amazing to me. You know, even if my audience is only number three or whatever it is, the fact is that the type of callers I get, everyone knows in the business I get the best callers. I think that we get the most educated people who really, in the country, who listen to talk radio at all. They're all going to listen to the Savage Nation at some point. Why? It doesn't mean that they're conservative or they're independent. Many of them are liberal, probably. But you know what? They're starving for intelligent conversation that comes from a basis of reality. I have that basis of man in the street, common sense, as Donald Trump said. And I think that when you combine that with a good education, a lot of reading and a lot of living, okay, so it makes for interesting conversation. At the end of the day, I'm a good conversationalist, and I know how to lead a conversation. I suspected today when I began the show that this would work today. I just guessed that if I went from the political to the psychiatric, the people were going to line up around the block. And I think that that's what's happening. Let's take another caller from the Midwest, Wisconsin. Dr. Bob, your analysis of Congressman W., please.
Yeah, my background is forensic psychology, not psychiatry, but I've come to a similar conclusion as what the psychiatrist called earlier on regarding psychopathy. He evidences a whole lot of psychopathic traits, that the narcissism, I won't get caught, the rules don't apply to me, the smooth lying, the control of others, and just using other people as pawns and not recognizing that other people are people too. This does sound an awful lot like a whole bunch of people that we do elect. If you read this, pick up a book.
Yeah, no, well, that's true. A lot of them do behave this way. One could argue that his the man who married him, who engaged in overt sex, in some ways was healthier than him. You could actually argue that Bill Clinton engaging in sex in the White House, while morally reprehensible, was degrees healthier than what this man was doing. Wouldn't you say that?
Well, I would, but I wouldn't say that he's just mentally ill or it's just compulsions or it's all his brain. See, mainstream psychology and psychiatry, it all operates off of deterministic assumptions, and so they're always going to come up with deterministic conclusions and treatments. And they're missing out on the fact that people still choose. Like, I bet he chose not to make any texts and tweets that day when he got caught. And people,
so he could have controlled himself. So therefore, was he looking to get caught? That's the question for the next hour. I think so.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All right, welcome to the Savage Nation. We're continuing to talk about the news of the day, including the strange case of Congressman W., not from a political but from a psychiatric perspective. In the first hour, I had psychiatrists, therapists, psychologists call the show, sex therapists, to tell us what is actually making this man, what makes this man tick. Now, the PR professionals, the focus groups behind this progressive, have decided now is the time to tell the world that his wife is pregnant. Obviously, they knew she was pregnant before this, but they feel that the people, once they hear that his wife, Huma Abedin, is pregnant, will suddenly lay off. I frankly, respectfully, see the opposite happening. Can you tell me that the woman is pregnant and he's doing this while his wife is pregnant? Doesn't make the guy look like a bigger moron and a bigger sicko? This makes him look sicker, by the way. Would you want to be his child? Would you want to grow up with a father who's... well, private parts are now disseminated all over the internet, which you can, your children, your friends are going to, it's unbelievable to me. But again, I want to ask you, if you're a therapist, we know he's an exhibitionist, we know he's a narcissist, and now his defenders are saying, look, there's no scandal here. Nobody, there's no sex involved, nobody was hurt. I disagree with you. He hurt the nation. He hurt the office of Congress. Moreover, we do not know the extent yet of this man's madness, because when the ethics investigation does occur, and what's her name? Nancy Pelosi said there will be an ethics investigation. She has to do so to protect her back. I suspect that more is going to come out. And that's given that that's the case politically, I think this man has to resign, and I think he will. But nevertheless, if you're just listening to talk radio, and let's say you yourself, let's say, do certain things you're not happy with, and who doesn't, okay, whether it's an eating disorder or a drug disorder or a compulsive sexual disorder, you're fascinated by this man's such public exhibition of his sickness that you can't believe a congressman would do a thing like this. And I think it's worth delving into this from a psychiatric perspective. Now, having said that, I want to quote Jesus when he said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." Let's remember what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a sick man who happens to be a congressman, but he's also a human being, and we're watching a human being who's very, very sick. Okay? This is a sick man. Now, some of you would say, "I don't care that he's sick. He's a congressman. He has no right to do this. He should resign immediately." I understand that. Remember, his judgment counts. He sits on committees. Do you understand why the country is broke? We have a president who may not have the same psychological problems as Anthony Weiner with regard to his sexuality, but he has the same issues with regard to self-aggrandizement, narcissism, no sense of balance, no sense of self-control, impulse, no sense of his own self-image, by the way. Do you think Obama really sees himself the way we see him? Do you think Obama really understands that he is a laughingstock in his cavorting around the world on Air Force One while talking out of the side of his mouth about green cars and green energy and greenness? Do you think that the First Lady actually sees herself for what she is? She lectures you to eat carrot sticks and she's stuffing her face with greasy ribs everywhere she goes, or cheeseburgers and fries. Do you think she sees the world the way it is? The fact of the matter is Congress has the lowest approval rating in history, 9%. The people see them and they don't see themselves. We the people have had enough of these psychopaths. Why do you think they continue to spend when we are broke as a nation? Why do you think that Obama says he's going to send God knows how much money to Greece now when we ourselves are a basket case with a begging cup out there? How can he say he's going to bail Greece out with whose money? Disconnect from reality. Narcissism, egomania, self-aggrandizement, no sense of reality, same thing. The only difference is this jerk has a sexual component to it. Okay? I'd like to have the callers again who are professionals in this field educate the listeners. Again, I want to repeat again, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. But he's not an ordinary man. This is a congressman. This man sits on committees that determine the outcome of our economy, the outcome of our national defense. He actually, I think, authored a bill on the defense of women. And here he is abusing women, talking about women in the most derogatory manner in his texting. Austin, Texas. Dr. B, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I believe that there is a lot more going on with this man than has been mentioned. I do believe that there is a high level of pain involved in his daily life. I think it's not just narcissism, not just anger, though those things are obviously there, but I do believe he's thumbing his nose at society, but on one level, I truly believe he wants to get caught. He wanted to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I don't know where a man with such a poor sense of judgment could sit in Congress. I have no idea. Didn't he understand that eventually these would be leaked?
He can't help it. Michael, he can't help himself. This is an obsession. It's an addiction. This is how he relates to the world.
By showing a picture of his private part like a five-year-old. This is a grown 44-year-old sitting in Congress, sends a picture of his private part to a woman and says, "Look how big I am. Look how strong I am." I mean, this is it's sickening, frankly.
Yes, it is, darling. It is to all.
No, look, doctor, I don't like his politics, okay? But as a man, I find him a specimen that is disgraceful as a human being, as a man. This is not even a man. He's getting up and crying when he got caught with the shifty eyes and sucking on the water bottle. I thought I was looking at a five-year-old who got caught exhibiting himself in a classroom.
I think inadvertently you've put your finger right on it. I think it may have started at the age of five. There is something very wrong with him. He does not belong in Congress, obviously.
Well, that's the bottom line. And I think that the people deserve better than Congressman W. And I believe the Democrat Party really ought to get together and dismiss him and throw him out and not drag us through these hearings because they're going to get uglier, frankly. Thank you for the call, Doctor. I get such great callers. I want to ask a policeman or a detective in the sex crimes unit anywhere in America, if it turns out that some of the women he communicated with are underage, is it a crime? Let's say he says, I didn't know that they were underage. Is that an excuse, a defense? Yes or no? Is it a crime to communicate on in this manner, saying the things he says in his text messages with women who are underage? Is this a punishable offense? I don't even know the law, truthfully. You know, I don't send anything by Facebook. I have a Facebook and Twitter account. Let me be very clear. I was told, oh, everyone has it. But I've never communicated by Facebook or Twitter. I won't do it because I know what can happen. So I have a large following of thousands of people. I occasionally will send out basically stories about my plight with regard to the United Kingdom case or something of some interest to the people who like my show. But I don't receive emails in that regard, Facebook or Twitter emails. And I think that there are people who are friends of each other on the site who do communicate with each other. But for reasons of self-protection, I don't communicate with you if you're a Facebook or Twitter member. Do you understand that? Because, look, this woman in Las Vegas, the blackjack dealer, she was setting him up. I read the interchange. It's from Radar Online, and we published it on Michael Savage. She kept encouraging him, sort of like, come on, big boy, you can do it. I could see this. She was she was involved in what's the word? She was like drawing him out. She was enjoying drawing out this congressman, and he was falling for the bait, which shows he has no self-control. It shows he has very little judgment, and it shows, most of all, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, that Congressman W. is not fit for office. It doesn't matter whether he is a Democrat, Republican, liberal, right-winger. It doesn't matter. He's not fit for Congress. The institution itself should get together and throw him out. That's my opinion. Okay. Pat in New York City on WOR. Your opinion. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, yesterday, the New York Post, the cover, this I found this extremely disturbing. The cover of the New York Post had his picture, you know, bare-chested, looking downward on himself. But
yes.
If you look over his shoulders, there was a desk full of photographs. One of those photographs, I'm saying, appears to be him shaking hands with President Bill Clinton. And I was thinking to myself, how would I feel if, you know, I'm a prominent person shaking hands with this guy, and he's included me in these photographs that he's sending?
Well, that's right. Well, Bill Clinton is now all over this mess because he married this man with his he married them, number one. And we all remember what Clinton was doing in the White House. It's bringing that back up when Bill Clinton is trying to reinvent himself and put that behind himself. They can't be very happy with Congressman W, can they?
No, but there were also numerous photographs, obviously, of, you know, you can't really make out their faces, but fairly, you know, prominent people. So,
well, look, let's be clear. They've all distanced themselves from him. No one has come to his defense. Nobody in politics is saying Anthony's a good guy. We're sticking with him. I mean, even his ex-girlfriends are saying, after reading the transcripts, they can't believe how sick this man is. And his derogatory comments about women are frightening. They're actually psychopathic.
Well, this last doctor, and then you had two doctors, not the social worker, but you had a male doctor and a lady doctor, were, to me, stunningly on the point. I think he married this woman. I think he believes he loves her, but he married her also because she represents a stable version of what he isn't. In other words,
But, you know, there's another cynical element to their marriage now that the country is looking at it. He's Jewish, she's Muslim, correct?
That's what I found out today, yeah.
All right. He's Jewish, she's Muslim. This was a calculation. an arranged marriage where he said, you know, I'm so brilliant, I could be president one day. I am so beautiful, I could be president one day. Women love me so much, I could be the next John F. Kennedy. I could be the first Jewish president, but aha, I'll tell you what. What if I marry a Muslim who's deeply connected to the Clintons? Why, this will negate all fears about any Islamophobia that I might have. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see it perfectly. But as far as he's concerned, I mean, I was a 30-year registered nurse in critical care in New York. I only did 2 years in emergency psychiatric services. But I've met a lot of high, you know, what I would consider fairly high-profile men. And it's interesting that they all, I think, there's no question that the disease pre-exists the profession. The profession becomes a cover because these are men who are normally very highly intelligent and also aggressive. And when he gave his speech the other day,
yeah,
and he said, I'm not resigning, in a way I was relieved. I personally feel he's potentially suicidal, and I was happy he didn't resign for that reason. Something's going to...
You mean if he resigned and he had nothing to live for, he'd kill himself?
I really believe that. It was my...
Oh, wait, you're telling me that a congressional ethics hearing where they're going to call witnesses is not going to be something that this man will be so humiliated by he might not do the same thing to himself?
I'll give you my opinion on that. I think that calling the congressional hearings in a means to give him time to consider what his options are.
Well, I think that Nancy Pelosi called for the congressional ethics hearing in order to tell him to get the heck out of this office as fast as possible, but he's not listening to her. My belief is that the leaders of the Democrat Party know how damaging this is, especially for the so-called progressive wing of the party, and that he has to go. He is now becoming the poster boy for so-called progressive values. This is what's happening. And that's why Pelosi threw him under the bus, but he's not listening to her. And some things are going to get very, very bad right now. I'll be right back.
I know that I never had any intention of having any interaction with underage women, and no information that I have now shows that I did. But yes, whenever you engage with anyone, and that's true of... That's
all right, so this guy has no idea the trouble he is in. He's this disconnected from reality. This is brand new. Vermont's Leahy, who is as liberal as they get, has called for a Congressman W to step down. U.S. Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont says he thinks a resignation by New York Congressman Anthony W. would be in the best interest of his constituents and the U.S. House. This is very big news, ladies and gentlemen. When you see a major league senator who is a very, very vocal liberal calling for Congressman W. step down, you know that there's much more to this, and it's going to come out. Another congressman from one of the southern states has said, I don't think it hurts Democrats as much as it hurts the institution. There is a lot of pent-up anger at Congress right now, some of it justifiable. But for him to go out and do something stupid like this, it doesn't do anything to help our credibility with the American people. That's what I'm saying. Congress needs to step in right now and show that they have the guts and the capacity to throw out a member who's psychopathic, in plain English. But they're not doing it. Where's the defense in this? Josh in Houston, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I am a detective with Internet Crimes Against Children, and in the state of Texas, it is illegal to communicate through the Internet with a minor in a sexually explicit manner or send them any sexually explicit photos.
Now, wait, what if he says he didn't know that they were underage? Is that a defense?
It is a defense. Would he be charged? Most likely.
Most likely. So in other words, he's sending them out to all of these girls. What if one of them made believe she was 21, but she was 18? What would happen in that case?
I would work it just as any other case that came across the desk. And, you know, in the case of, say, she was 13 or 14, the parents would most likely be involved, and then I would investigate it. And it would
well,
be-
I suspect that with the number of communications he had, the likelihood percentage-wise is that somebody's going to turn out to be underage in this investigation. At that point, he's finished. I mean, this is very dangerous for him. The smart thing for him to do would be to get out of there right now while the getting is good. Savage. We are talking again about the strange case of Congressman W. From a psychiatric point of view, not myself, but we're having experts call in the show, people who are medical professionals. And we've given you some late breaking news, which is that the liberal senator, I don't know if there's anyone more liberal than Leahy of Vermont, has called for Weiner to resign. I mean, you're not hearing from a conservative saying he should resign now. Now you're hearing from the liberal wing because they understand that this is hurting the institution of Congress itself at this point. And yet some of his defenders are calling the show and saying, we're wrong. In New York on WOR, Max, go ahead. You have the mic. Give us your point of view.
Mike, thank you for taking my call. Listen, I think this whole thing with Weiner, this is a facade. This is like the DSK problem was a facade over the IMF, and Clinton Lewinsky is a facade over Kosovo. All of this is to distract us plebes. This is a distraction. I'm sure there's something happening far deeper and far more important than this.
Oh, what you mean, like the economy melting down or Obama continuing to give away billions or promising money to Greece while he has no money? I understand that. But nevertheless, aren't you offended by the fact that there's a congressman who is still in office after being caught sending pictures of his penis to constituents?
No, to be honest, I'm not, and I'll tell you why. I think this is something, I'm not saying this is nice, this is good, this is moral, but this is something between him and his wife. I don't believe.
Well, wait now, Max. Let's say you go to a doctor. Would you go to a doctor if you knew that after hours or even during between patients, this doctor was sending pictures of his penis to female patients? Would that offend you?
Well, you know, that's a good analogy, and I think you can almost catch me on that one. But
well, I mean, if you were female patients, of course you wouldn't. You'd think the guy is weird and sick. You wouldn't want him to touch you afterwards. Well, this man is the doctor in the sense of the community. He is a representative.
Michael, these guys in Congress, I have a cousin who worked in Washington for several years, and she tells me that this stuff is not, this is commonplace. All these guys are doing it. They're all laughing.
Well, I've heard all of them do it. You know, not everyone is Barney Frank or Anthony Weiner. There are men who are distinguished and reputable and moral, only you don't hear about them. Most of them don't represent Brooklyn and Queens, however. Thank you for the call. You know, they're the people in the part of the country that the schmucks on television laugh at. The know-nothings, okay? The know-nothings make mockery of the decent men. The know-nothings mock their Christianity. The know-nothings mock their family values. No, they're not all like Weiner and like Barney Frank. I'm sorry. But you never hear about them. Instead, you get the sickos and the drug addicts on television making a mockery of the decent men. No, I'm sorry. Not everybody does it. Oklahoma John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I'm speaking up for Weiner because I believe that there is a mistake that was made in a time of his life that does not make him a complete psychotic that wants to commit suicide, and he shouldn't have done what he did. He shouldn't have lied, and everybody that calls in always points out the obvious, and so annoying that they point out the obvious. Of course, there's more pressing issues, but people make mistakes. That's what being a good Christian is fixing those.
Yeah, of course, I said let he who is without sin cast the first stone, but you're missing the point. He didn't stop doing this. He did it right up until he got caught. I don't know where you're coming from. He didn't just do this a few times. This is a pattern of the man.
I understand, and I will say everybody keeps saying it's something he needs to deal with his wife. And it, my experience, and I can tell you, is not as graphic as his. Did meet someone online, and just getting to like what the police officer said, it's such a bad system. I met someone online, and we had a arranged place to meet, and it turned out we met at a bar. Where else are you going to meet, a restaurant or a bar? And she was younger than she said, and she was not the person she said she was, and thank you know, the Lord that it didn't go further. But I mean, you know, the system is so horrible because I didn't do anything wrong.
I agree with you. I don't like the entrapment. I don't like that happening to people without them even intending it to happen. I agree with you on that. But what do you make of the fact that one of his ex-girlfriends of Kirsten Powers, who defended him to millions of people right at the beginning, now sees the picture of his private parts and what he actually said to women, and she is so tricked out by the sadness of it and how crazy he is, she said he has to resign. She knows him better than you do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a people are deprived in the marriage and they end up doing...
I agree with you. 100% right. Or he has sexual needs that aren't being fulfilled. We understand that. Again, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. I have sympathy for the man as a human being. But listen, we are dealing with a man who sits on committees that have to do with our life and death, our survival as a nation. That should worry you. I don't know how you could dismiss this as it's his business. It's not his business. He has to be held to a higher standard.
It worries me also the person that has the same feelings and he holds them and they're just, they're building up inside, but he's a, whether it's Christian or whatever it is, it's just, he doesn't act on them. I'm worried just...
Wait, so the man who controls himself to you, in your mind, is the same as the man who acts out?
It's not the exact same, but I'm saying that it's all worrying because...
Well, you got to understand that's the differential between a moral man and an immoral man. You know, an author, a very famous literary figure, I believe it was George Orwell, one of my favorites, who said that inside every man, there is a man who would like to drink pots of beer and cheat on his wife. But he said most men don't do that because they're decent people. That's the differential between a decent man and an indecent man. It's not that he doesn't have the desire or the feelings. It's that he controls them.
Okay, so
I once spoke with an Orthodox rabbi who told me, he said, we're not made of stone. He said, don't you think we have the same impulses and feelings that other men do? It's just that we don't act on them. That's what distinguishes a religious man from an irreligious man. He chooses to control himself.
Can he wake up tomorrow and go to church and talk to someone about it and not be labeled for the rest of his life? Can he go back to doing the...
But I agree with you. I don't think a man should be condemned to death for what he has done. However, he needs to step aside because he's damaging the institution of Congress, which is already damaged. That's number one. Number two, he shows a lack of judgment that's quite worrisome in an age of terrorism. I can go on the list, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's not the worst person on earth, but he's certainly not fit to serve. Again, I have to ask you, John, we don't know each other. If you had a doctor who you relied upon, or a dentist, or whatever, and you found out that in between patients he was sending pictures of his penis to female patients, would you go back to that doctor?
No.
Bingo. End of story. I have to put it in that context. This is not behavior that you can simply say is okay. Dr. Mike in Michigan, you're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please.
You see what you are doing. You are trying to take psychiatry back. Psychiatry does not come from Mount Olympus. It is the embodiment of what is normal in the society. Is this normal? You send a picture to strangers? This is not normal. This is not what normal people do. This is not acceptable for you. Who said, treat others like you'd like to be treated? All the rest is commentary.
I don't know what you just said. You're saying that he should be forgiven and it's normal?
No. Like your last caller, he's trying to use psychiatry to force aberrant behavior into the acceptable category.
You're saying the last caller is trying to say that because it's done, therefore we should accept it.
Essentially, even the guy before that, he wants to give this a pass. When do the people speak for what's acceptable in their society?
Okay. I didn't know what you were saying or what your viewpoint was. So you are offended by Congressman W's behavior?
If it was my daughter, I would seek blood.
Okay. No, I didn't quite get it at first. I think you were very emotional about it, and I didn't quite hear it, doctor. I really didn't. Okay. Have we exhausted this? I don't think so. Dr. Busquez in Houston, you're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please.
Yes. I think Congressman Wiener really broke the law because he exposed himself. And that's a pedophilia, and that is against the law.
Well, it's pedophilia if it went to an underage person, but we don't know that it did. Right. He did expose himself. It's the same thing as a flasher. He is a flasher on the internet. Does anyone understand this? That if a grown man sends a picture of his penis on the internet, he is acting as though he opens a raincoat up in a crowded theater and says, look at me. I mean, the man's sick.
Exactly.
So is a sick man fit to serve in Congress? We can all laugh and say they're all that way. That's not true. Number two, there's a big difference between doing it and saying you're going to do it or not doing it. They all don't do it. I mean, for Congress, for Senator Leahy, who is as diehard a liberal as there is in Congress, I cannot think of a liberal more liberal than Leahy, perhaps Schumer. For Leahy to come out an hour ago and say that Congressman Wiener has to resign, to me, indicates to me that no matter what spin they put on it, now they're saying that his wife is pregnant. Well, they knew she was pregnant last week. They knew she was pregnant 2 weeks ago. So what? The spin doctor said, come out with the fact that Huma is pregnant and they'll leave you alone. I think it makes it even more imperative that he resign. I think this is sickening. Who would do this while their wife is pregnant on top of it all? Wait a minute. You want to now really look at it? And the guy's doing this while his wife is pregnant, not thinking about the child and the consequences for an unborn human being when that child becomes conscious. Hey, here's a picture of your daddy's penis. Not thinking about the damage it will do to the daughter or the son for the rest of their lives. The man is not fit to serve. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back to poll the jury right here in the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Well, look, it looks like I don't believe this man can stay in office much longer because some of the top Democrats are calling for his resignation after the penis picture was circulated on the internet. I don't know how they can not call for him to step down because this is getting sicker by the minute. We have Leahy saying that Wiener should step aside. We have former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, who served as DNC chairman during the Clinton administration, saying he should resign and he should get treatment, real treatment, said Rendell. Tim Kaine, you know, former DNC chairman, said he should step down. Senator Mark Pryor, Democrat, Arkansas, Indiana. I mean, a lot of Democrats are coming forward and saying Wiener has to resign. And they're a vanguard, by the way, of what's going to come tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Remember, this just happened today, the leak of the private part picture, the genitals. The picture was supposedly accidentally leaked today, but no man could survive this. Nobody. It just shows you how sick he really is, that he doesn't even understand the shame he has brought upon himself and his wife and his future child and the Democrat Party and the institution of Congress. It's still only about him and his thing. That's all it is. It's still him and his thing. This is crazy. It's crazy. Sacramento, Ted, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike. Congress appoints military officers in the military, and if a military officer was to get caught doing this, they would decommission him and throw him in jail. Why
is that correct? Right. So if a military officer sent pictures around of his private parts, that's jail time.
Yes, and this is about leadership. That's what some of these people don't understand that are calling in, and backing up this guy. I say,
yeah,
hey.
Right. I haven't used the word leadership once because I rarely think of it with regard to Congress. Everyone knows they don't lead anybody. But when it comes down to a thing like this, anyone can see how bad this image is for everybody involved. And I did not know your perspective from the military. I didn't know that it was, I knew it would be, let's say, punishable. I didn't know it would be immediately thrown out. What about if it happened in private industry? What if you're working for a corporation, you send a picture of your private part on a computer at work or even at home and you got caught? Tell me what that would be. David in Virginia, what happens in private industry?
Yeah, Michael, the private industry has policies and procedures against this based on the laws that these guys make. So
yes.
What he's done, he broke the law, and in private industry, you'd get fired. I had to fire an individual that did a whole lot less than this. This is totally unacceptable, and he should be fired if he doesn't resign.
And do you know in San Francisco, the newspaper's not even covering the scandal? They won't even cover it in the liberal, even in Pelosi's backyard, they put it on page 10. They're talking about grasshopper tacos taken off the menu. They're not talking about perhaps the biggest sleaze scandal in the history of the Senate, of Congress. It's unbelievable to me how they are turning a blind eye to this. This is sickening. Boston, Alex, your opinion counts. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Bottom line is, this gentleman should resign, if not let go.
I understand that people say, you know, forgiveness, but forgiveness starts with a person. If he was really wanted to be forgiven, if he was sorry for what he did, he would step down on his own and seek help. The bottom line is, someone wants forgiveness, they've got to ask for it. He hasn't asked for it. He's not looking to be forgiven.
No, he didn't pay any consequences yet. He got up there the other day and said, I'm sorry, I take full responsibility. And the and was nothing. There was no and. A little boy takes out his private part in school, 5 years old. You take the little boy aside, you tell him that we don't do it and why. If the boy keeps doing it, he gets therapy because he can't control himself. You don't condemn the boy the first or second time he does it. He's a little kid. But when a 44-year-old man does it, that's called flashing. It's against the law. That's number one. When a congressman does it, who is allegedly a friend of the most vulnerable members of society, the big mouth liberal that he is this not hypocrisy? Then what is hypocrisy? It's unbelievable. I don't understand how people can defend him. I truly don't understand this. The defense of the indefensible. Is it the worst thing a man has ever done? No. No. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone? Yes. But this is not what we are talking about. Ralph in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
So, Michael, he resigns, he fakes rehab, and then he has his own talk show. That's the cycle that's going to go on.
Oh, no, I know CNN and Fox are probably fighting from already. Roger Ailes is probably fighting CNN right now because we know what happened with Spitzer.
Michael, he acted like a jackass. I understand that these impulses exist. The sexual drive drives us to do things that we would ordinarily not do. And I'll tell you,
agreed 100%. I said this for 3 days. Is there anyone listening to this show who has not or does not have impulses that they wish they didn't have? The answer is no. But there's a chasm beyond which we cannot cross when it comes to Congress. Don't you think they're in a special category?
Well, Michael, the internet is a convenient place for this type of thing that didn't exist 20 years ago. So this, it's so convenient for him to go and do something foolish like this. For a guy who has that type of tendency, you know, it does not affect his ability. I don't like the guy, you know, and it's hard. I'm not defending him. I have no use for this guy whatsoever. But, you know, I wouldn't be so quick to label him a degenerate right away. And you know something?
Hold it now. Listen, I don't think you've read some of the text messages that he sent to these women. Have you actually bothered to look at the Radar Online stuff, which we linked on michaelsavage.com? If you look at it, even liberal women who dated him are saying that's the end of the road. He has to go. You can't believe the things he was saying to women. This is not just a man wanting to date women or have sex with women or even mentally playing with that idea. This is a man who engages in wordplay that's quite, I would say, psychopathic.
You know what, guys that do that, Michael, guys that can't perform in real life. They kind of live vicariously through that type of thing. You know, here's a middle-aged man, Michael, who needs to be found attractive. He needs to be
I agree with everything you're saying, and she's egging him on, saying, give it to me, big boy, and he gets more excited in the next text message. I get it. I understand that.
Yeah, and Mike, you know, it's just one sleazeball calling another sleazeball a sleazeball, if you can follow that. You know, it's just, you know, the hypocrisy is huge with this. And, you know, like I said, Michael, he's going to go on to...
Well, who's the sleazeball calling him a sleazeball, me or you?
No. I'm talking about the other Dems on the same side.
No, I didn't know where you were coming from. Hey, I understand this is not the greatest crime on earth. Nevertheless, he's a sitting congressman. He allegedly represents the poor downtrodden women of his district. He cares about women's rights. He cannot serve them. Moreover, he's a laughingstock for the rest of his life. We didn't say throw him to the alligators or throw him in a piranha tank. We just said let this dirty little boy get out of Congress now. They have a 9% approval rating. If they do a new poll after this, it'll be 5%. The institution has to gather the troops together. They have to circle their wagons and they have to show that they stand for something. I say he'll be gone by the end of next week, if not by the end of this week.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
As much as I would like to avoid it, we have to talk about the strange case of Congressman W. I mean, all this week, the spectacle of Congressman W. has been dragged before the American people by the media, myself included. We've all discussed it over and over again from a political perspective. But what about talking about it from a psychiatric perspective? It's clear to me that Congressman W. has a mental illness. How else can you explain the lurid texts he sent while knowing full well that eventually someone would likely make them public? Now let's go through Congressman W's symptoms. One, we know Congressman W is an exhibitionist. That much is clear. Two, Congressman W has self-destructive tendencies or he would never have put himself in this position to begin with. Three, he's a consummate narcissist, believing that he and his deviant desires were far more important than his family, his constituents, and the nation. So, if you're a psychiatrist, I'd like to hear from you. How do you assess the symptoms of Congressman W? What is it in his background that you think brought him to this point? Should a man with this kind of mental disturbance be allowed to continue serving in Congress? What would the proper authority be to determine whether he was incompetent to continue serving? And if you're a shrink, what do you think is the proper treatment for Congressman W? Now let's go to the fact that everybody's making as much hay out of this as they can. The blogger Breitbart is probably, in my opinion, making an ass of himself. He goes on a shock jock show on satellite radio, and he shows the picture of Congressman W's private part, and then he says shockingly, "Oh, I didn't know they were going to take a picture of me showing it to them. Who is he fooling?" Then we have an ex-girlfriend named Kirsten Powers. I don't know who she is, but she's on Fox News, and she is saying now it's time for him to resign. She says what has emerged is a picture of a predator trolling the internet for women, some half his age, with which to engage in cyber sex. And then she quotes some of the conversations that were released by Radar Online, and it's frightening. She says this is not about sex. It's about dominating and inflicting physical pain on a woman, a fantasy the hardcore porn industry makes billions of dollars on selling to men. There are other views, stereotypes of Jewish women. The fact of the matter is, even she looks like she's cashing in on it, but she's saying it's time for him to go, even though she's always liked him. She said Congressman W has fallen far short of even the low standard to which we generally hold our elected officials. My heart still aches for him. It's time for him to go. Kirsten Powers, that's a girl who knows him, I would say, better than I do. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation. Have you seen the new site? Gorgeous. Top right, UN report declares internet access a human right. Boring. You don't want to hear about that. Left, Obama's phony accounting on auto industry bailout. Boring. Next story, Wiener explained himself to Clinton. Margaret Thatcher won't meet with Sarah Palin. They say Sarah Palin is nuts. Now, we have a picture on Congressman W. from his junior high school yearbook. And it's... the headline of the article is The Dirty Trick That Launched Wiener's Career. You got to see this in the middle of michaelsavage.com. Here's a good story. The FCC has agreed to take the fairness doctrine off the books. Thank God for the Republicans. Ex-DNC chairman says Wiener needs to resign. Would you like to see some of the women behind the sexting politician? They're all not particularly good-looking, by the way. Would you like to read the filthy phone conversations that are filled with violence aimed at Republicans, incidentally? We have the transcripts from Facebook conversations with a Vegas blackjack dealer as released by Radar Online on Michael Savage for your viewing salaciousness. Only 24% of voters say they share Obama's political views. They say he's far more liberal than they are. You hear this? So the country's being ruled by a radical leftist Marxist, as I point out in Trickle-Up Poverty. How about socialist medicine? You want it? Patient left to die in a corridor. Read it. toddler dead in Virginia, E. coli outbreak, 10 sick in Tennessee. Okay, the one from Europe? Well, here it is now in Tennessee. Disgusted voters' approval of Congress plunges to 9%. Wiener faces calls to resign. Last stop for Obamacare before Supreme Court. SEIU members march with communists. That's your unions there. Iranian Navy sends submarines to Red Sea. What else is on Michael Savage? Let's go to the bottom quickly. U.S. doesn't make cut list for happiest nations list. Boo-hoo. Ultimate fighting legislation, not going to happen. Anthony Weiner or Beavis, celebrity look-alike. I couldn't resist it. We found that in the Daily News. It says, it may think your favorite celebrity is one of a kind, but you're wrong. It's shocking how the profile of Anthony Weiner matches that almost perfectly of Beavis. It's unbelievable. The difference is Beavis is not a Democrat, liberal congressman screaming for Medicare, Medicaid, and the environment. Well, all of this and more on michaelsavage.com, as well as other breaking news whenever it occurs, you know, wherever it is. Wherever it is, wherever it is. What else is in the news? Judges suggest they may be ready to declare Obamacare unconstitutional. They're uneasy with the government forcing Americans to buy health care. Could you believe this? Yeah, Obamacare is now at the Supreme Court. As I predicted in my trickle of poverty, by the way, it's not at the Supreme Court. It's at a pivotal Atlanta federal court. Federal appeals court in Atlanta, 3-judge panel, 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, heard oral arguments on whether to reverse a Florida judge's ruling to struck down a law. The judges seemed receptive to arguments from critics challenging the health reforms as unconstitutional during the three-hour hearing. So it could happen that this will end. This could end. Throw the socialist out of the White House, people chanted. One woman who repeated no more Tea Party was escorted away by a courthouse security officer. Oh, well. We'll see what happens. What else is on the news? Is there anything else in the news? Oh, lots of things, like the debt is out of control. The East Coast is broiling. Nasty heat wave is burning up the East Coast. Chicago is sweltering. SWAT team breaks down man's door over student loans. That's from the U.S. Department of Education. I'm not making this up. Remember we told you about a year ago the U.S. Department of Ed bought 27 shotguns? They just used them. They broke down a man's door over his wife's student loans. Welcome to the black boots of the federal government. Where is Congressman W's wife in Africa with Hillary? God. You don't think they're looking for the real birth certificate, do you, Beowulf? All this and more on The Savage Nation. Wisconsin, L.A.T., Lat, you're on The Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I was diagnosed with satyriasis. It's a disease where a sickness, where lusting, and you're never satisfied with any women. I've been out with a lot of beautiful women, and you just want more and more and more.
You actually had a doctor who knew what satyriasis was?
Yeah, well, a psychiatrist diagnosed me with it, too.
And how did he cure you? Because the only cure is castration. I don't assume he did that.
No, the way I was cured is through religion, through God, and God delivered me.
All right, I'm not going to laugh it off. Explain to the audience, when you have an impulse towards a woman, what do?
You'll do anything. You'll fixate. You'll do anything to have that.
No. I'm saying, how do you overcome it is what I mean.
The only way to overcome it is go get it.
No, you're not answering me. You said you cured yourself through religion. So I'm asking you, if you're walking down the street and you see someone that you would normally have lusted after in years ago, how do you deal with that impulse now?
I pray to God about it, that the impulse will go away, and it does go away.
What do you mean? The minute you feel that desire, yep, or that urge, or you fear it coming on, you say, God save me?
Yep, I do. Absolutely. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what I do.
Does it work?
It does work. It's hard. I'm not saying it's tempted, but it does work. It keeps the lustful desires out of my mind. They only come in for a split second, they leave.
So is that much like AA? Does AA work in the same way?
Somewhat. It does. Similar, but that's what delivered me from it, Michael.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I know millions of people have the same exact story. There's virtually no other cure for addiction other than a faith.
I think what happened with that former, that IMF member over in France,
yes.
Think they know he has addiction with women. And I believe that he was set up to control him because they know they can control these people through
women and lustful desires like they did with Kennedy. President Kennedy was controlled that way.
Oh, absolutely. That used to be well known in the CIA. It's a reason they wouldn't hire certain individuals because of their sexual impulses, because they knew they were easily blackmailed and couldn't control themselves or wouldn't. Well, those days are long gone now. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Mozart's Eine kleine Nacht Music, Eine kleine Nacht Music from 1787 in the Savage Nation. This is what Western civilization is all about. This is the antithesis of the barbarians that Obama seems to love so much. Listen to it. Listen to it and weep as you realize this all started. Well, let me backtrack a little bit. Let's just listen for a minute. So you see, last night I went to a cocktail party, so to speak, at a museum in San Francisco. And a museum which still displays pieces of art by some of the great masters of Western civilization in the middle of a city, San Francisco, which has dedicated itself to the destruction of all that is good about Western civilization. So as I stood there in the hall with works by the great artist Rodin, the great bronzes of Rodin, the man who created that great sculpture, the thinker, I think about what's going on. I think about the barbarians that our government seems to bend over backwards for. The throwbacks who have given the world nothing for thousands of years. The throwbacks who sit and seethe and create nothing but hatred. And as I watched the young ladies in the quartet, I stood there next to one of the Rodin sculptures, and I stood there with a glass of bad red wine, by the way, some of the poorest red wine I've had in years, but it was very cold out. And I watched the crowd of white people hovering around the buffet table as though they had not eaten in years. As the gates were opened, the barbarians broke in, and the barbarians devoured the quiche and the bad wine and the Swedish meatballs and the grapes and the cheese. I couldn't believe it. These are white people over 50, 60 years old, clamoring as though they had just been released from a concentration camp, clamoring as though they had not eaten in 5 years. But strangely enough, I was the only one who heard the music, at least I think so, because I took my glass of bad rot-gut red wine, and I stood and watched these young ladies performing. Actually, there were three young ladies and a young man. And frankly, I started to shudder at the beauty of it. It just came right through me because I was standing around some of the greatest art, some of the greatest art that I love. I've always loved the Rodin sculptures. I've always loved the Rodin Gallery here at the Palace of the Legion of Honor. And I felt honored to stand there. But as I looked up at the ceiling and felt the music coming through me and watched the young ladies literally quivering, becoming part of the instrument themselves, somehow all I could think of was that the barbarians that this government under Obama is so interested in protecting, the barbarians who the Defense Department is on the side of the barbarians instead of our soldiers who would defend these young women, all I could think about is what these barbarians would do to these young women. They would put them in burkas and they wouldn't let them play the violin. They would smash Rodin statues. They would burn the paintings of Europe. And all I could think about was, how did this start? How did my great country, this once powerful nation, degenerate to such a point? Well, I remember how. I remember how, and I'm going to give a testimony right now. This all began with the feminist movement back in the 60s as they chanted, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, Western civ has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Western civilization has got to go." And now we have Obama. And now we have Janet Napolitano. And now we have the barbarians not at the gates, but inside the gates themselves. And what the barbarians inside the gates are trying to destroy was right there in front of my eyes. I thought of all the trial and error and research that went into making all of the great advances that Western civilization has given the world. And it made me again think about the barbarians at the gate who want to destroy all of this. It made me remember that because a single generation of weaklings and leftists had made us vulnerable to attack and attacked the very core of our civilization, that all the towering achievements of the West could be destroyed by a bunch of fanatics whose mindset has not changed for 1,000 years. While your ancestors were building the world, the ancestors of these fanatics were sitting by their scimitars and seething, creating nothing but hatred. Hatred for women, hatred for civilization, hatred for science, hatred for liberty itself. And so as I listened to the incredible music played by these young people last night, surrounded by the great works of Rodin, I realized that the throwbacks blew up 1,500-year-old Buddhist statues in Afghanistan once they took over Afghanistan. And if the barbarians of the gate had their way, they'd smash the sculptures, they'd ban the music being played, they'd put the women in burqas, they'd burn the paintings on the walls by all of the great European masters. And now let's go back to Mozart's Eine kleine Nacht music and listen to the feminists in the background of your mind chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho, Weston Sib has got to go. Then take a look at who we have in the White House. Take a look at who we have in Homeland Security. Take a look at who we have in the Defense Department. And you'll understand that they've actually won. Now, here's a story that is not directly related, but it's somewhat related to what I just said to you. I know you're caught off guard because it's not Democrats bad, Republicans good. And it's not so clearly just simply Obama bashing that you can follow the dots. You see, the difference between my show and others is that the other shows, the so-called conservative shows, are like a John Nagy painting. You have dots that you follow, and you paint in the dots. Number one, you paint in green. Number nine, you put in a yellow. Number eight, you put in a blue. Number 10, you go to another color and you put it in. And presto, you come up with a patriot, a painting called Patriotism. But let's set that aside. A friend in the movie business said to me that one of the great acting coaches, I think it was, who was the guy who played Hiram Roth in The Godfather? Lee Strasberg said to him that anybody with more than 110 IQ can be a good actor. In other words, it runs the other way as well. Anybody can act on one hand. On the other hand, it helps if you're stupid and you have no education. Let's put it to you that way.
Savage.
Ivan Elland is a senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty. He joins us now on the Savage Nation to tell us why Obama has completely bypassed Congress with his war in Libya. In other words, it's illegal. Ivan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on, Michael.
All right, tell the audience what the War Powers Act of 1973 actually calls a president to do.
Well, it essentially tried to rein in after Nixon's secret war in Cambodia, the executive power in war making. The Constitution was originally set up, and the founders were fairly clear on this. If the country was under an immediate attack, the commander in chief, taken narrowly, meaning the president, could defend the country. But as soon as possible after that, he was supposed to get a congressional declaration of war. Now, any other military operation had to be approved up front because it wasn't an attack on the United States. So what we have here is the War Powers Resolution. The executives since Harry Truman were sort of ignoring the Congressional Declaration of War. The Korean War was the first major war that we didn't declare. Harry Truman just simply said, well, you know, this is a police action. So the presidents had been abusing this and going to war without congressional approval, which was, of course, really ripping out one of the central tenets of the Constitution, which was that the founders didn't want the executive to be able to just take us to war, as the European monarchs did, foisting all the costs on the people of blood and treasure. In other words, the houses of the people, the houses of Congress, had to approve this. Well, come to Vietnam, of course, we have this secret war in Cambodia with Nixon, and also under Johnson, we had the flimsy Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which was never really supposed to endorse a completely wide war in Vietnam. So the Congress decides that they're going to enforce this, and they essentially, what the War Powers Act does, contrary to conventional wisdom, it doesn't allow the president to go to war and then get approval for it within 60 to 90 days, because, of course, that leads to a fait accompli. Nobody in Congress is going to vote against money for the troops once they're already in place. What the 60-day and 90-day period were supposed to refer to was if the country was under attack, then the executive had 60 to 90 days before he had to get congressional approval. In all other warfare, which would include the Libyan case, this approval had to be given up front by Congress. The scenario that the War Powers Act was designed to cover was essentially what happened on 9/11. We were under attack. George W. Bush decided to retaliate by invading Afghanistan. That would apply. The War Powers Act would apply to that. He could commit the troops into Afghanistan because we were attacked, and then have 60 to 90 days to get the approval. But, of course, George Bush, in both the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan, got congressional approval. Oh, Barack Obama has not done that in any way in Libya up to this point. He did not get any sort of approval before he did it, and he even went farther than Clinton did in Kosovo, because in Kosovo, Clinton didn't do that either, but he did get a special appropriation for the war, so Congress got to vote on the funding. In this particular case, Obama's done neither. He didn't get approval up front, and he didn't get, so far, he hasn't gotten a special appropriation to fund the war.
Well, why is Obama ignoring this critical part of going to war? How does he get away with it?
Well, I think it's just a steady erosion since the time of Truman on. It just gets worse and worse that the executive just doesn't feel that they have to do that. These things are on the books. The Constitution was very clear. The founder's intent in some places in the Constitution is a bit hazy. It really wasn't on the war powers. And, of course, we have this War Powers Resolution, which is a law which is meant to enforce the Constitution or make it more specific sort of fill in the blank, if you will. But we just have a disregard for the processes of a republic by presidents of both parties, and it incrementally gets worse and worse. And I just mentioned it gotten worse from Clinton to Obama. Now, Bush, you can say what you will about the wars that he conducted in Afghanistan and Iraq. You can either support him or not support him, but he did get some sort of congressional approval. Now, he probably needed to get a full declaration, but at this point in history, we'll settle for anything we can get. And I think, really, there's two points. The executive has usurped this power, but the Congress has let them do it. So the Congress is not blameless in this either.
Isn't NATO made up mostly of U.S. assets? What's the difference between U.S. just fighting a war, us just fighting a war and using NATO? What does it really matter?
Well, of course, the French and the British do have planes, but we're the backbone of NATO because they couldn't do this operation without our refueling, logistics, and intelligence. That's the mark of a superpower. We always think of fighter jets and combat capability, but other countries have combat capability. What we have is the support capabilities to go with it that nobody else has. Like I say, the intelligence, the aerial refueling, the logistics, et cetera. So we are still behind this war, and of course, we may get dragged into it. The more Gaddafi hangs on, the more we're going to have to, the bigger the role of the U.S. and the danger that we'll have to escalate this while we have two other wars going on.
Should we really be in Libya at this point? I don't think so.
Well, I don't really think it was a vital interest to do this. Gaddafi has been a thorn in our side. But, of course, we had made nice with him because he gave up his nuclear program and we were actually training his military forces and things like that. But I think they thought that they could had a good chance to get rid of him with this Arab Spring. But I think these types of things are best done when they're done by indigenous forces such as Egypt, Tunisia, and possibly Yemen. The leader there may have fallen as well. So based on the people doing it themselves. So I'm not sure it's a good idea for us to jump in things like this. And certainly there's no national security threat. I think France really wanted to show it to get back in the game, they kind of dragged Obama into it, but he should have put his foot down and said, no, we're not going to do this. It's really not in our interest. And the problem that Obama has is that the stated purpose of the military action is to protect civilians. Well, of course, they've gone far beyond that on the ground, and the real goal is to take out Gaddafi. And if that doesn't happen, Obama's going to look, and the other leaders are going to look ridiculous. But Gaddafi has a lot of advantages because he can just go into the cities, use the human shields, and just hunker down. And I think that's what he's doing. And that was always predictable, I would think, in something like this. You have to be very careful. This was a half-baked scheme. Just like Clinton's was in Kosovo, Clinton got lucky. And maybe they'll get lucky here, or we don't know yet. But it's these types of things are kind of risky when you go in with a half-baked plan. And NATO has shown itself to be not very good at doing this because there was a long delay when the U.S., we were leading it at first, and then we stepped back and said, okay, you guys lead. But then there was a big pause because NATO has little experience leading these types of missions.
Hasn't war become a faraway concept for most Americans?
Yes, I think that's part of it. Part of it is that the Congress does not want to take responsibility for success or failure in war. They want to foist it onto the executive. So they don't like to vote on these types of things because it puts them on record. An example is the first Persian Gulf War. Many Democrats voted against it because they didn't think it was necessary. Well, of course, it was a smashing victory for the U.S., and they got nailed for it in the next election. People were saying, well, you were against this war, and it's turned out quite successfully. So in the second war, of course, Bush's invasion of Iraq, most of them voted yes. So congressmen don't like to do these types of things.
Ivan Ellen, thank you for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Oh, a lot of these issues can be found in my book, Recarving Rushmore, Ranking the Presidents on Peace, Prosperity, and Liberty. And I thank you, Michael, for having me on.
I'll be right back. It's The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Tom on WTNT, welcome to The Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I heard your broadcast about individuals who've been falsely accused of child sexual abuse. I'm an attorney in the Washington, D.C. area, and my entire practice is dedicated to representing individuals who've been falsely accused. And I do.
Oh, my God. Well, that must be an amazing book of horrible lives that have been ruined by this. How do you defend against such witch trial cases?
There have been a number of very notable witch trial cases, like the Emerald case up in Massachusetts.
Oh, yes, that was the worst. They went away for how many years?
Violet Emerald was only released from prison just for a very short period of time before she died of cancer. And her son, Gerald, stayed in prison, a couple of years longer than that. But
and these were people who ran a school, and they were falsely accused of having a magic room that never existed, and the children were put on the stand by detectives. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's true.
So what kind of cases do you typically get, Tom?
My specialty is representing people who've been accused by young children. That'd be children under the age of 6, because we know from the psychological literature that children that age can be subject to suggestion. And what we see is, for example, estranged spouses or girlfriends saying to the children, "Didn't daddy do something to you?" And then they're interviewed by social workers or detectives who have a bias. And then the poor child, gets so confused and they start assimilating what they've heard, what's been suggested to them. And then,
well, Tom, how do you defend when you're not allowed to cross-examine a child? Can you put a child 5 years old on the stand?
Since the decision of the United States Supreme Court in the Crawford case, a child has to testify. If a child is complaining they've been abused, they have to testify. But before they would get on the witness stand, competent defense attorneys conduct what they call a competency taint evaluation to determine, number one, if the child is saying something that they actually remember, or if the child is saying what the child has been programmed to talk about.
But unbelievable. Well, so this is an epidemic in America, is it not?
You know that prior to this decision of the Supreme Court, children were able to be talked to in closed rooms by social workers and detectives, and then those individuals were able to repeat what the child said, and the poor defendant, the father, the boyfriend, never had an opportunity to cross-examine the child. But that's all been abolished now. So really, the aggressive and competent defense attorneys who realize that children often make statements that are not supported by reality, they conduct these competency taint evaluations, and they bring in mainstream psychologists to testify about the issues of suggestibility. There was a wonderful study. I know you're busy, but let me just tell you about this study.
No, wait, Tom, let me say this. You're doing really valuable work, because I believe there's an epidemic, a sub rosa epidemic of false accusations in this country. Would you agree with my generic statement that the predominant number of individuals falsely accused are white males? Is that a fair assessment in your practice?
Yes.
And would you say that it's generally white males with some property in general?
Not necessarily, because it cuts across all socioeconomic groups, but it's primarily whites. It's primarily males and primarily whites. You're exactly
so
right.
So then would it be fair to conclude that those who have little or no property are being ripped apart for reasons of vendetta, just to destroy them?
Yeah. And not only that, the people that don't have the money and the right resources to hire competent counsel to get defended. If you get convicted of a child sexual abuse, you're going to go to jail. Number two, you're going to be on the sexual registry for the rest of your life.
Oh, my God.
And it's the passion of my life. That's all I do. My practice is limited to representing people who've been falsely accused. And my practice gets sometimes 20 to 25 calls a day through our website from people across the country reaching out to us for help.
So let's take it back to the case of the rich Frenchman, the IMF guy. Does he have an easy or a very difficult case to prove his innocence?
Well, his case is a little bit different, Mike, because that's an allegation being made by an adult.
Yes.
And it would have to, whether or not there would be any DNA evidence. Now, I mean, I'm just following what I hear in the press. If they're trying to say that there's some DNA evidence, it's hard for me to comment on that, because I'm one of the few people that still believes in the presumption of innocence. Until somebody comes forth and says, here's the evidence, and this is evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, I'm assuming that this man is innocent. He would then have to be proven guilty. And if there was some DNA evidence, for example, that she said something on an article of her clothing, and they find that, then that would be evidence that would tilt in favor of the prosecution.
But wait a minute. It still wouldn't. It's from my point of view as a layman, even if his DNA in the form of semen was found on any article of her clothing, it still wouldn't indicate that he raped her. It could have been consensual. She could have agreed to perform a sex act with him for money, and then, of course, used that to induce him, and then turned on him simply for personal gain. Why can't we assume that she did that?
Well, that's a theory that would have to be developed by his attorneys after they look at all the evidence. And that's.
I understand his defense attorneys. I think it's Bronfman and others are actually looking at her life back in Guyana. Or Guinea, rather, in Africa, meaning she's a devout Muslim here, but we don't know what she was there. And so, therefore, they're trying to find out if this woman had a sordid life that might indicate behavior other than what she's proposing here. Again, this is a very frightening situation that a man can find himself in, is it not?
Yes, it is. One thing that he has going for him is that he has the financial resources to hire competent counsel who can do that. Just think of the poor guy that's a laborer, a carpenter, or a house painter, making maybe $35,000, $40,000 a year, and he's got a family to support. He gets accused. What does that poor soul do? He doesn't have the money to do that type of thing. So he has to either get public defender or, you know, an attorney who will take the case on pro bono. How do you get the experts to come in?
But isn't it true that there's a presumption of guilt the minute someone is accused? Are they not immediately castigated by the media?
Yes, that's absolutely
yes.
Correct. In my website, I say that you're presumed guilty. And when you go into the courtroom, you look at the courtroom personnel, how they treat you, and how the whole ambiance of the sheriffs and the bailiffs, they look at you like this guy must be some sort of a pervert. And it's the standard of proof is reversed. You've got to go to court, and you've got to be aggressive, and your defense of these people, otherwise they're going to be found guilty. You just can't sit back and hope that they're not going to prove their case. You've got to aggressively, you know, we take these cases, we put 100, 200 hours into the defense of them, and we bring in a team, we do a PowerPoint presentation, because it's my life, it's my passion.
What is it? So this must cost at least a few hundred thousand dollars, correct?
Well, the defenses can run between $50,000 and $100,000. And if you get into stratospheric defenses involving international...
I got to tell you this. You know, Tom, I've been falsely accused in England of being associated with murderers and terrorists. You know that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know that I've spent over $200,000 of my defense fund money, if not more? And I've not even gotten a hearing in England. They refuse to even hear my case. Do you know that? They have completely reversed all of the rules of courts, of the Magna Carta, of freedom of the press, freedom of speech. Everything is upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland. I've spent well over $200,000, and they refuse, this government under Cameron refuses to even acknowledge that I might not be guilty as charged. Would you believe this?
Well, that it's the plight of many others who are in that situation, who have spent their life savings and they've gone bankrupt. And I empathize with you because I've seen that happen to my very own clients, not on the same scale, on a lesser scale. Nonetheless, the impact on these people is the same as it has been on you and others like you.
Well, I'm not begging anyone. I'm just saying that these things do cost a lot of money. But if you're dealing with a rigged system, as we have in America, it's rigged against the accused. And in England, they've completely reversed their laws of jurisprudence, where they're now something out of the Salem witch trial age, where you have to prove yourself innocent when they've assumed you are guilty without any trial whatsoever, without any evidence, without any discovery, without even meeting you or hearing from you. They say, Jacques Hughes, it's something out of the ex-Soviet Union. Anyway, your law firm is one of many, not many in the country, I'd imagine, PremierDefenseGroup.com. All I can say is, Tom, thank you for making this a passion of your life.
Savage.